Hi, this is Sean Backe from CLNS Radio and the Evening Score Sports Podcast. Kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something new with a free 10-day trial to lynda.com. lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world and has over 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Whether you want to set new financial goals, find work-life balance, invest in a new hobby, ask your boss for a raise, or even find a new job or improve upon the current job skills in 2015, lynda.com has something for everyone. Now, if you sign up today for the free 10-day trial by visiting lynda.com/CLNS, you'll get the benefits of unlimited access to every course on lynda.com. You'll also get access to view tutorials on tablets and iPhone and Android mobile devices, as well as access to new courses added every week. Some of the courses that were recommended for me include analyzing your website to improve SEO, viral marketing, and web analytics fundamentals. Do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for the free 10-day trial to lynda.com by visiting lynda.com/CLNS. Go ahead, I challenge you to learn something new in 2015.
Hi, Bob. Bob, you there? Bob, you there? Hey, Bob. Bob.
Welcome to the New England Patriots postgame show here on CLNS Radio, studio number 347-215-7771. And now on to your hosts.
Well, good evening, Patriots fans, and welcome to another edition of the Patriots postgame show, an AFC championship edition. And once again, the New England Patriots are your AFC champion, the 8th time in franchise history, the 6th time in the Brady Belichick era, and they will be going for Super Bowl number 4 between these two wonderful future Hall of Famers coming up in 2 weeks from tonight against the defending champion Seattle Seahawks. I am your host, Jeff Kane, at Boston Fat Guy on Twitter. Joining me tonight is Bob Snowden, at Snowden Bob, and you can call in 347-215-7771. The show tonight is brought to you by lynda.com. Go out and challenge yourself today. Go on to Lynda, www.lynda.com/CLNS for your free 10-day trial and learn something new in the new year. unbelievable 45-7 victory for the New England Patriots as they get back to the Super Bowl 3 years after they lost to the New York Giants last year. A depleted team got beat by Denver 26-16 2 years ago without Rob Gronkowski. They got beat at home in the playoffs. No such thing happening tonight as the New England Patriots absolutely dominated from start to finish. They absolutely killed the Indianapolis Colts. Only one time in the game did it ever seem like it could be possible that the Patriots might have lost momentum, and that was when Rob Gronkowski was running down a seam route, and Brady kind of underthrew him a little bit. A great play by DeQuell Jackson, who intercepted the ball, and then a couple penalties by the Patriots. And 93 yards later, and the Indianapolis Colts score to make it 14-7. The Patriots go 17-7 to start into the third quarter, and then it was all downhill for the Indianapolis Colts after that, as the New England Patriots absolutely throttled them. The third quarter, they just dominated. Another game in which the Patriots were able to go out and shut an opponent offense out in the second half. Bob Snowden will be joining me in a second. But again, 347-215-7771 is the call-in number to call in and talk about the New England Patriots and their domination of the Indianapolis Colts today. It'll be a great game in 2 weeks. Probably the best two teams in football. Well, they are, because you know what? They are in going to Arizona. It is the site of the Patriots losing to the New York Giants in that 18-1 season. But we're talking good things right now. New England Patriots, again, absolutely throttling the Indianapolis Colts. At one point, Andrew Luck was 10 for 30 throwing the ball. He just absolutely did not look like himself all game long. The Patriots did what they needed to do. They shut down the Colts offense. They absolutely ran all over the Colts. And Tom Brady had his best AFC championship game in quite some time. It'll make you quite happy moving forward. As the last two Super Bowls the Patriots get in, let's face it, they didn't have great AFC championship games. The game against San Diego, while they won by 9 points, it was a rough game for Brady and the offense heading into that game. And then, of course, the victory 23-20 a couple years ago against the Baltimore Ravens when the Patriots needed a missed Billy Kunda field goal to get into that game. But New England absolutely, again, dominant over the Indianapolis Colts. Just a great performance all the way around. LeGarrette Blount, 30 rushes on his own, 148 yards and 3 touchdowns, making him the all-time Patriot leader in touchdown runs in the Patriots history in the playoffs. So that is huge there. Tom Brady, again, 23 of 35, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns, that 1 interception we talked about. But just an amazing, amazing game. Julian Edelman, your leading all around there from going with, just about everyone getting involved. Rob Gronkowski didn't catch a pass until the second quarter. But he caught 3 for 28 yards. Nate Solder, former tight end of the Colorado Buffaloes in college, caught a touchdown pass and ran 16 yards for a touchdown. I thought it was funny when you see him and he's holding onto that ball for dear life. It was a great game all the way around by Bill Belichick and his offense and defensive coaching staffs. I a lot of times will sit there and talk about Josh McDaniels and how I don't think he is a great offensive coordinator, but I'll give McDaniels credit. 2 games in the playoffs now, he has come up with 2 great game plans in order to help the Patriots get to their 6th Super Bowl in the Belichick and Brady era. We're going to bring on my main man, Bob Snowden. Bob, are you there?
I'm here. I lost you. I was.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Ready to go? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, sir.
Okay, because all of a sudden, just as I was talking, it said, welcome to talk radio again. So what did he say while I was trying to redial in here?
I went over the whole entire Patriots game. We can hang up now and look forward to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
Bob,
okay.
your thoughts on an absolute annihilation for the New England Patriots as they absolutely dominated the Colts 45-7. Andrew Luck just was not ready.
Well, and the Patriots were. But let's face it, I think the Patriots heard so much Luck talk over the past week that it inspired them even more than they would have been, because some people were seriously saying they thought Luck could pull this game out. And you can't win a game all by yourself. And Luck, basically, he didn't play well. But not only that, he had a ton of drop passes. He had people that didn't perform up to par. And then in the third quarter, it just got completely out of hand. And that third quarter, though, when the Patriots scored three touchdowns, two of them within a minute and 11 seconds of each other, the ball game was over.
It definitely was. The ball game was absolutely over. Let's talk about New England Patriots stars today. And we could talk about Tom Brady, who had a great game. We could talk about LeGarrette Blount and Rob Gronkowski. Who do you think was the offensive player of the game in this one, Bob?
Well, I'd have to go to LeGarrette Blount. I mean, he just took over again and did everything you could possibly ask someone to do. And, you know, for many of us, we were kind of hoping to see Gray a little bit more, but I'm happy. I'm happy for Blount. He just did so much the same way he did. And by the end of the game, the last series that he played in, I know the Colts were hoping he wouldn't run the ball anymore.
Well, let's talk about this right now, because Jonas Gray really didn't get much in the way of carries until the very end. It was the LeGarrette Blount show. And let me tell you right now, that guy Blount, man, am I happy we got him back. 30 carries, 148 yards, 4.9 yards per carry, and three more touchdowns in the playoffs. Again, making him the all-time leader in Patriots history for rushing touchdowns by a Patriots offensive player. Just a phenomenal game by him. Tom Brady, the one bad pass, you know, the one interception down by the goal line that led to the points for Indianapolis. But other than that, he played a phenomenal, phenomenal game. You know, ran the ball a little bit himself, got the ball out quick. Just a great game all the way around by Tom Brady in my eyes. Sure, only 226 yards passing, but he made the plays when he needed to make the plays.
And that's really deceptive, because he had a stretch where he hit something like nine out of 10, and the only one missed was a Gronk drop during one stretch. So I don't want to hear, and I know we will, that the Super Bowl, if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, Brady is not a great quarterback and is not still a great quarterback. That's bull. We're playing Seattle, the team that I wanted to play from the beginning. If you remember, Jeff, even in preseason when we were talking, I said Seattle and the Patriots. And then as the playoffs started, I said, you know, Seattle's the best in that division. And they proved it today with probably as exciting a comeback victory, if not more so, than the Patriots had last week against the Ravens. And the two best teams in football are playing each other in the Super Bowl. And the better team will win. I really think the Patriots have a solid shot at winning that game.
I'm going to say this right now. I got the Patriots winning that game by a touchdown. I think this is the Patriots' year to go back and do it. And I look at this. The last time a defending Super Bowl champion went into a Super Bowl and lost was, of course, back in 1997, as the Green Bay Packers lost to the Denver Broncos, giving John Elway his first Super Bowl title at 37 years old. And, of course, Elway won it again back in 1998 against Atlanta. You got a 37-year-old quarterback here in Tom Brady, helped out by some, and I can't believe I'm saying it, very good play calling by his offense coordinator. a team like
more than he passed it today. I did.
A team that I'm going to say right now is the perfect team built under Bill Belichick on the offensive side of the ball. They can throw it 50 times a game and win. They can run it 40 times a game and win. They can control the line of scrimmage. They can go hurry up. They've got players all the way around Tom Brady that can help this team. And if they can't run it against Seattle, they'll step back and they'll pass it. If they can't pass it against Seattle, they'll step back and they'll find a way to run it. And I'm really excited to see the two best cornerbacks in the league in Darrelle Revis and Richard Sherman going head-to-head, not really head-to-head, but on the same field. That's a defensive player's a treat on Sunday, February 1st.
Well, and hopefully Sherman is in better shape than he was at the end of the game, or even early in the game, he could not move his left shoulder or his left arm for over half that game today. Yet he stayed in the game. I mean, a gutsy guy. And early, when the Packers were dominating for a period of time, Sherman was the team leader on the sidelines. He was gathering people and, you know, just laying down the law. Here's what we need to do. And I give him credit for that. He may have a big mouth, but he's a great player, and he's a team leader, and that was obvious today.
He has a great a big mouth, but he backs it up. I will give that to Richard Sherman. We all remember, as Phil Simms was talking at the end of the game, you know, the first time that Richard Sherman really became a household name was against the Patriots in a 1-point victory back in the 2012 season, if I remember correctly, when he came out and he said, "You mad, bro? You mad?" Well, he backs it up, and Seattle is definitely going to be a very big challenge for the New England Patriots. However, I do think that this is the Patriots' year. I've been saying it for a while now, and last week's win, the comeback, not once but twice from 14 points down, tonight's absolute drubbing of the Indianapolis Colts. The first time in a long time, Bob, that I can remember the Patriots playing great in an AFC championship game. I think that, you know, 2004, they played a very, very good AFC championship game in a 41-27 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. But the 2006 team had a 20-6 lead and lost. The 2007 team had a very tough game against Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers, where Rivers was playing on a bad ACL, and their running back there, LaDainian Tomlinson, was a shell of himself. He was hurt. And then, of course, the last three AFC championship games, you know, were a missed field goal away from it being tied against Baltimore. Baltimore was the better team in 2012, and the Patriots were beat up last year. This is the healthiest the Patriots have been going into a Super Bowl since back in that 2004 season.
Well, and that's true. One thing I would like to see happen by the Super Bowl is get Stork back. Although I thought the offensive line once again dominated. They, you know, Brady got sacked once, but he really was getting rid of the ball quickly. I was surprised they left him in the game quite as long as they did. And on the next to last series he was in, he got nailed low by the ankle and went down. And I'm thinking, get him out of there at that stage. And darn if he didn't come out for the next series. Only played one down. But when he came back out, I was screaming at the TV, "What are you doing? Get him out of there. We don't need him getting hurt." But it is nice to go in healthy and with Gronk. Gronk makes a difference. He didn't have his first catch. In fact, he didn't make a catch until after Nate Solder made a catch for a touchdown. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, who would have thought that? But they did it. The Patriots showed again that they are multifaceted. As I look up on the TV right now and I see the Patriots conference championship tees and hats. Don't give me a conference championship tees and hats. I'll buy one after the Patriots win a Super Bowl. I don't get excited over AFC championship games. I want Super Bowl 49. I want that Lombardi back where it deserves to be, down at One Foxborough Place, down in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Well, Seattle is favored, I think someone said, by 2 points at this stage. It'll be interesting to see how much that swings during the course of the week, and Sherman's injury may have a major factor in how that swings. But even right now, as they take on going into this year's playoffs, Seattle was seeded number one, and the Patriots was seeded number two. When was the last time the two number one seeds actually from each conference faced off in the Super Bowl? It's been a long time, Jeff. Do you remember when it last was?
Last time, if I remember correctly, this is just off the top of my head, I believe it was the Indianapolis Colts versus the New Orleans Saints after the 2009 season. Both those teams faced off in the Super Bowl, and a victory by New Orleans over the Indianapolis Colts in that game. A game that was pretty close until a pick six by Peyton Manning, and I'm expecting a very good game coming up. But let's get back a little bit to this game and this victory. But before we do that, today's episode of the Patriots Postgame Show is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world. All their self-help courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Claim your free trial membership today to Lynda.com by going to www.lynda.com/CLNS. And if you need to spell Lynda, they spell it a little different. It's Lynda. And get in there and challenge yourself this year and get on board with the CLNS Radio and Lynda.com. Bob, the Patriots came out and held the Colts to a 3-and-out. Then they turn around, get the ball back, and they go 3-and-out. And then there's a muffed punt by Josh Cribbs, a guy that many Patriots fans a couple years ago wanted to see the Patriots go out and sign as a wide receiver / punt returner. Darius Fleming, a guy that they got in his third year from the San Francisco 49ers, spent half the season on the practice squad, comes up with that one, and then next thing you know, it's a touchdown for the Patriots. Tell me what your thoughts were on how the Patriots started this game, because they've started slow the last few weeks.
Well, and it was important, I think, in this game that they start quickly, and obviously they did. It really gets the tone of the game going well. And when they scored, you know, the two TDs, there was no way in my mind that you were going to see Indy come back. I felt the game was won at that stage in the first quarter. And I really would like to see that same thing happen, obviously, when we play Seattle. I think that first series of downs on offense really gets the game rolling in the manner that you feel comfortable on offense. If you go 3-and-out like the Colts did, and the other team scores, that's hard to come back from. And I know the Patriots came back last week from 14 points twice, but I sure don't want to be in that hole again. That's tough to do. And I thought every aspect of the Patriots game was really on cue today. The only time they ever really weren't successful was that time they had first down, I think it was on the 3, and then moved back, and they ended up kicking a field goal. Other than that, they were perfect, whether they were in the red zone, whether they were far out. I mean, they couldn't have done any more than they did. They ended up with 28 first downs in the game, and they were split almost evenly. 14 of them were rushing, and 13 were by pass. Edelman had five third down catches for first downs. He had another great game, leading receiver on the team, and he has been through most of the year, so it's kind of nice. It will be interesting to see. I think it was Mike Reese. But that's my Mike Reese mention for tonight, by the way. Mike Reese had a column that it would be nice if Patriots still gave him the bonus he lost by sitting out that last game, because he had a lot of incentives built in. He's still going to make a lot of them, but one of them he lost because he didn't get to 1,000 yards. He came up just short, and he easily would have made 1,000 yards if he had played that game. And counting today and last week, he's well over 1,000 yards, but you don't count that to it's a regular season. But Edelman has been, this is two straight years, just the guy. I mean, he's the man you go to. Gronk is great. Gronk is Gronk. But Edelman, when it's third down, has definitely filled in that role that Wes Welker had. And when he left, we didn't think anyone could do it.
Yeah, the one with Edelman is he can get that $500,000 bonus if the New England Patriots are victorious over the Seattle Seahawks in 2 weeks in Glendale, Arizona. So hopefully, for Julian's sake, he'll be getting that $500,000, and maybe he can pass it to the way of the Boston Fat Guy or Snowden Bob. But just a phenomenal game. Bob, let's talk about this New England Patriots defense, because we've been talking about the offense a little bit here and the way it was able to run the ball, the way that Brady was able to throw the ball. And guys like Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski and new receiving threat Nate Solder were able to absolutely do some great things. But Andrew Luck, the next great quarterback that everyone's talking about, 12 of 33, 126 yards, an average of 3.8 yards per attempt, picked off twice, and a rating of 23. T.Y. Hilton, one catch, 36 yards. Now, your tight ends, Dwayne Allen and Colby Fleener, had a total of seven catches between them for 60 yards. Hakeem Nicks, one catch for 15. Daron Hammond, two catches for 11 yards. And Tipton, one catch for four. And take out the 17-yard scamper by Boom Heron. And he had 10 carries for 51 yards. Patriots absolutely dominating this game. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this Patriots defense, because it's the best one we've seen in a while.
Well, first of all, I went into the game not really worried about the Colts offense. The last column I wrote during this week, I talked about who scares you on the Colts offense. And the answer is no one other than Luck. And if you can stop Luck, which they obviously did today, I refer to Hilton as Paris Hilton, because he just disappears in big games and plays like a, and I won't use the word, but like he's of the female gender. And all the female listeners are now turning us off because I said that.
But what we actually, what he actually meant to say was a female dog gender. That's what he actually meant to say.
Okay, yes. But when you look at this defense, last week was an anomaly when they did not play well against the Ravens. And the Ravens aren't that great in offense, although they looked great last week and Flacco had a great game. But this Colts team wasn't in the game. I mean, the only touchdown they scored, the only points they scored the whole game was after an interception. Now, yes, it was a 93-yard drive, I believe, but it was aided by two big penalties. Vince Wilfork had called on one, and it seemed when you watched the replay, it was one of those borderline calls, but yeah, you call it. And it would have been third and seven, if I remember right, because they had just sacked, and it took the sack away. They had just sacked Luck, and it was going to be third and long. And instead of that, it gave them a first down. And then later on, there was an interference call that put the ball 20 yards downfield or something like that. So a couple of key penalties on that Colts drive kept the drive alive. But to give them credit, they went 93 yards. That's the only drive they had the whole game. They did not move the ball the whole game.
It was the only drive that they had the whole game. They ended up with 203 yards of total offense, 93 on that one drive. And that was, the penalty was actually called on a 5-yard loss on a screenplay that Rob Ninkovich absolutely blew up. And unfortunately, Vince Wilfork there, you know, hearkening back to his Miami Hurricane days and playing a little dirty there, Vince. Little dirty there, big Vince. You know, throwing that forearm shiver into the Colts wide receiver there. Actually, I think it was Doyle there, their third tight end, and gave them a first down. But other than that, the Patriots played a great game all the way around, all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. How big was that miss of Adam Vinatieri in the first quarter on their on Indianapolis' second drive, where he lines up for a 51-yard field goal and absolutely shanks it Patriots move down and get a touchdown on the next possession. How big of a miss was that for Adam Vinatieri? And can you believe that Vinatieri missed the playoff field goal?
I know it. It was 51 yards, and he's always been borderline once you get 50 and out, although he also has been, as we all know, probably the most clutch field goal kicker in the history of the NFL. But yeah, that was huge. And when I looked down at, you know, I had pretty much conceded at that point that they were going to end up getting the field goal. And at that stage, the Patriots were only ahead 7-0, so it would have made it 7-3 when he missed the 51-yard field goal. And like you said, that's when the Patriots took over on their own 41. And it ended up with a TD pass to Devlin. And again, at the beginning of the game, who would have named Solder and Devlin as touchdown receptions? And Devlin did a good job once he caught the ball of bowling his way into the end zone. I mean, he was wide open when he caught it, so catching it wasn't that hard. But he's a big guy, and that was, again, in the first half with a minute and 20 left in the half, making it 14-0. So the turnaround was from what would have been a 7-3 game if Vinatieri had made it to 14-0. So it was big. It was huge. And you know, again, when you look and you look at the statistics, and I kept track, like, quarter by quarter, actually, and you looked at Luck at the beginning of the game was 3 for 11 for 22 yards, while Brady at that stage was 6 for 9 for 61 yards, and Brady had the touchdown. Blunt was rushing the ball. Heron, you know, ended up with fair statistics, but a lot of them are deceptive. At the end of the game, the Colts just gave up. It's been a long time since I've seen a team do that, but they were wise in doing that. Their last possession, they pretty much conceded. They weren't even going to try and do anything. They won't get anyone hurt. But the Patriots dominated. And those were the first quarter stats I mentioned. Edelman had 3 receptions for 24 yards. I mean, the Patriots in every quarter controlled this game. And with the exception of the Brady interception, were as close to perfect on offense and defense as you can be. And you mentioned something else, Jeff, that kind of gets left in the wayside. The special teams. I mean, again, the run backs. Edelman had another great run back on a punt. And at the time, a flag was thrown, and I was thinking, okay, this one's going to be pushing in the back or something like that. And instead, it was actually against the Colts. And I forget exactly what it was, but they added 5 yards onto his run back, and that's another time that the Patriots went and scored another touchdown. So there wasn't one aspect that you can criticize, I don't think, of this entire game.
No, I mean, and I'll give credit where credit's due. A heck of a hellacious block by Brandon Bolden. He's turned out to be a phenomenal special teams player for this team. He sent Andy Studebaker into the locker room spitting up blood. Hopefully, Studebaker's okay. We don't like to see anyone get, you know, hurt. You know, it's that's not what you want to see. You don't want to see a guy get injured. So moving forward, let's talk a little bit about the special teams, because not only in the AFC Championship game was special teams huge, but in the NFC Championship game this afternoon with the Green Bay Packers playing and the Seattle Seahawks and losing I think it was a 12-point lead with under 2 minutes to go. You had at the end of the half, or in the third quarter, I believe it was, a fake field goal that was run for that was thrown for a touchdown, and then the onside kick that was successful. Seattle fans right now got to be thinking the same thing that Patriots fans were thinking last week, that this is our year. No one's going to stop us. Both these teams have come up with amazing games the last 2 weeks. So your thoughts as we move forward on what's going to happen moving forward.
Well, first talking a little bit about the Green Bay-Seattle game. There was a point where Green Bay made a key interception, and I want to say it was with 4 minutes left in the game, something like that. And it looked like there's no way that Seattle's going to come back. That's it. Game's over. The interceptor, and I don't remember who it was, didn't try and run with the ball when he made the interception. He just kind of laid down, and he had lots of running room. He could have gained at least 5 or 10 yards after the interception. But it was almost like he was thinking, well, I don't want to fumble. I'm going to get down. We're ahead. And then Green Bay went very conservative on that series, and Seattle got the ball back. And that was almost the turning point of the game, although you would have thought it was a turning point in favor of Green Bay. The fact that it almost looked like at that point they thought they could run the clock out. It became very, very quiet, placid. I mean, it's like they wanted to just run clock and weren't even thinking that they needed a first down or should get a first down. And I thought that was the turning point of the game. Seattle came back and scored, and then Seattle got that onside kick, and which, I mean, I certainly would not want to be the Green Bay player that had the ball hit him on the helmet as it went through his hands on that onside kick. It was one of the backup tight ends, if I remember right. Then, again, Marshawn Lynch runs for, God, how many yards? That touchdown run was
157 on 25 carries. So if you're a Patriots fan, you got to be worried about Marshawn Lynch. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to stop Lynch, and that's a tall task.
Yep, I agree. And again, I think the game is going to be very tight, but I don't get intimidated by Seattle, and watching them today, they are vulnerable in a few areas. And with the exception of Sherman, they did not look real strong at safety, and they had, who was the starting safety that got hurt early in the game? Came back late in it, Jeff. I don't remember who it was, but I just wasn't overly impressed with Seattle today, even though they came back. Now, I know a lot of people are saying the same thing about the Patriots after last week. Not overly impressed. They came back and won it, but Baltimore had a chance to beat them. Every game is different. The Super Bowl is always different. The emotions of the game, the players going into the game get so high that the first 5 to 10 minutes of the game, when you hear players talking afterwards, they run out of breath. They get exhausted because they're so emotional as you play the Super Bowl. And we look at this Patriots team, and without having the roster in front of me, a lot of the Patriots players that are there now hadn't played in a Super Bowl, despite the fact the Patriots have now played in 8, tying them for the most Super Bowl appearances in NFL history, which is, you know, pretty amazing, since 6 of them have been during the Brady era. Actually, yeah, 6 of them during the Brady era now. So this team has spoiled us rotten.
You think?
Yeah. And when I read, and I understand it, even some of our writers, I know Patrick, Brady's got to win a Super Bowl to prove he's still Brady. Man, I get frustrated when I hear people saying that. Is Brady as good as he was 5, 6, 7 years ago? No. Is he smarter than he was? Yes. Can he still be the spark? I think you've seen that the last 2 years, that here's a quarterback that's taken them to the Super Bowl at 37 years old. That's how many quarterbacks at 37 years old have played the Super Bowl, Jeff?
Not many. The last one that I really remember was John Elway. I'd have to look back to see how old Kurt Warner was in the 2008 Super Bowl, I believe it was. Yeah, I think that's when it was, 2008. I'd have to look back to see how old Kurt Warner was there. But not many players make it into the Super Bowl at age 38, especially or 37, especially in this NFL at the quarterback position. Of course, Peyton Manning, I misspoke, not even thinking about Peyton Manning, who was 37 last year, and the Seattle team absolutely owned them.
From play one, with the snap went over his head for a safety first in the game.
That was not to be Peyton Manning's Super Bowl. And I think these two teams match up really well. I think for the first time in a long time, I really feel, even though last year you had, actually we asked earlier, when was the last time two number one teams played in the Super Bowl? Wasn't last year two number one teams that played in the Super Bowl? So, wow, we forgot about that. But even though last year took Peyton Manning and the Broncos versus
Seattle.
Was Seattle
number one seed last year? I'm not sure. Are you sure?
I'm almost positive. They might not have been, but I think that they were. We'll have to take a look at that and see if they were. I thought they were the number one seed last year. In fact, I'm almost positive that they were. But the one thing that I want to say about this game, and you always want to go up against the best, and Ian Rappaport is reporting right now that Richard Sherman will have an MRI on his elbow on Monday, possibility that he has ulnar nerve damage. That'll be a big hit if he can't play. Thinking Richard Sherman, though, I think that guy would have to be pronounced dead not once but twice by a coronary physician for him to miss this game. And Thomas, was the safety that left earlier in the game. He has a separated shoulder, or dislocated shoulder, but he has already said that he will play in the Super Bowl. And why not? This is exactly what you see. Moving forward, Bob, let's talk about it. The Patriots will have Rob Gronkowski healthy in the Super Bowl. What does that mean for this team?
That means everything. It is the defense. No defense matches against Gronkowski. The Colts tried doubling on him a little bit today. And yes, he didn't end up with a whole bunch of yards. But when he does, and he dropped a couple of balls, actually, when he doesn't have a great game, sometimes it really doesn't matter because the defense is forced so much to focus on him, it leaves the other receivers open to do what they want, whether it's Edelman, LaFell, who had another pretty good game today, had one big drop. But other than that, he didn't have a catch till the second half either. It was really strange. As much as the Pats were moving the ball in the first half, LaFell and Gronk did not have a catch at that stage of the game. But Gronk just is unstoppable. And today he showed it again, even though he had a couple of drops. He ended up with a touchdown again, and he's such a bull. He's such a big guy. Secondaries have to cringe whenever he catches a ball near them. And so he makes a big difference. But this year's Patriots team, and you and I have talked about this before, is so different from teams of the past. Not just Gronk, and being able to play in the Super Bowl with Gronk obviously makes a difference. They haven't had him in go this far in the playoffs healthy. So this will be his first real chance to show everybody nationally what he can do, although I don't think, since he was a unanimous All-Pro, I don't think anyone doesn't know what he's capable of doing. But when you look at this year's team, this is a tough team. This is a tough Patriots team, top to bottom, whether it's Blunt bowling people over going up the middle, whether it's Jamie Collins crashing through. I mean, players that have really elevated their game this year, the young players, the Collinses, the Hightower, Chandler Jones is steady. He's not getting a whole bunch of sacks, but they got a lot of pressure on Luck today. And they may not have sacked him, but they certainly forced him into some bad passes. And I thought, when you look at this team top to bottom, they're about as solid as the Patriots have been going back to the early Super Bowl wins. In the first year the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they really weren't that good a team. They just gelled as a team. And I'm certain you remember, Jeff, the fact when they ran out as a team,
yes,
they changed the concept of Super Bowls, because other teams were like, "Whoa, we've been announced individually." They come on as a team, and that's
another thing the NFL has taken away from the Patriots.
Well,
you now have to be introduced individually. Right. You no longer come out as a team. This is a team sport, and it's funny because the Patriots are going back to their sixth Super Bowl since 2001, Bob. Let's just look at all the things that the NFL has done, the competition committee has done All right, so you go back and you think about Ray Lewis's comments this week about Tom Brady and the tuck rule. All right, tuck rule's gone. I agree 100%. That's a bad rule, should be gone. Patriots got lucky in that one. 2003, the Patriots absolutely manhandle the Indianapolis Colts at the line of scrimmage. Four interceptions of Peyton Manning. And what happens? The next season, they go back and give more emphasis on defensive pass interference. The Patriots go to the hurry-up offense, and then all of a sudden they move the official that usually sat up behind the line of scrimmage, and they moved him to going behind the line of scrimmage, and he had to be in place before you could snap the football. Now, they go out and they say that there's people out there that – they don't want the official getting hurt. Now, that was slowing down the no-huddle offense. That's what I got to say. And then this year, going back and going with more of a, more of the same thing. Peyton Manning loses the Super Bowl, more of the same thing, a defensive interference. I wouldn't be too surprised if both Seattle and New England called the league office and said, all right, no defensive pass interference calls next week.
Well, hey, Jeff, I don't know whether – it's me, but I thought they let both teams play pretty much today. Yeah, but there were also a lot more that could have been called and would have been called during the regular season today, and they didn't call them. I thought they pretty much let them play football. There was one where I thought for sure they were going to call Browner, and they didn't call it, and he definitely bumped the person as he was going down. And it was pretty physical on defense today, and I was glad to see there weren't 10,000 flags out there, because there was an opportunity to have that many flags. And yes, the Patriots had some big penalties, but overall, when you look at the team, it wasn't a factor, I don't think, in today's game. Even though the one touchdown drive, as I mentioned earlier, by the Colts, was helped by a couple of penalties. But other than that, I didn't think penalties were a factor in the game. And the same thing with the game, the Green Bay Seattle game.
Again, you're listening to the New England Patriots postgame show here on the CLNS Radio Network, brought to you today and powered by Lynda.com. Go to www.lynda.com/CLNS for your free 10-day trial and challenge yourself to learn something new this new year. Challenge yourself. Bob, we look at what the Patriots had done today. Just utterly amazing the way that they played. Final thoughts from you on what the Patriots' season was like after that 2-2 start, how much of a role that this team has been on.
Well, the best thing that happened to the Patriots all year was the blowout at Kansas City, because it just seemed to wake everybody up. Prior to that, it was almost like they were sleepwalking. And yeah, I know Gronk was still returning from his injury and wasn't at full strength, but the whole team just seemed out of sync. And if you remember, in preseason, we were all pretty excited about this year's team. We felt like wide receiver may be an issue. But with Gronk healthy, we thought they'd be okay. But once they lost that game in Kansas City, they came back with a fire in their eyes. And they became that tough Patriot team that we've gotten to know over the years. And this year's team was as tough as any. And they showed that during that stretch when they had six games that we were all thinking, with the exception of you, that they'd be lucky to come out with three wins or maybe even just two, because they just got blown out by Kansas City. And instead, they dominated, and then the only one they lost was the game to Green Bay. And that's when everybody really began to feel this may be the year. This is the year when you're looking. There's no real dominant team, first of all, in the AFC. There was no one that played, including Denver, who started red hot. But Denver had a terrible last three or four regular season games, too. There was no one in the AFC that worried you. In the NFC, beginning the year, Seattle was bad. They got red hot, and they always worry you because of their defense. So there were two teams in the NFC, and the two of them played today, Green Bay and Seattle, that were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And I thought the Patriots were the only legitimate Super Bowl contender in the AFC. And to see them go this far, again, I want Brady to get that fourth ring. I want any doubts, any questions anyone ever had about the Patriots. I'm tired of Spygate. I'm tired of Belichick and the other snide comments, whether they're from Pittsburgh fans who are convinced they never should have lost to the Patriots and that should be their Super Bowl because of Spygate. And the teams, the Patriots right now are probably, Jeff, the most hated team in the NFL.
Oh, when they, yes, easy.
When they won their first championship, they were the most loved team in the NFL, but now they've been so dominant, every other team, every other fan base, and I don't blame them, is jealous. And Brady is just too good to be true, so he can't be that good because no one could be that good. And I'm not just talking football. I'm talking the person, Tom Brady, the utter diplomat that he is. So it'll be interesting to see next week. They're playing in Arizona. What will the fan base be in that stadium? And I'm hoping that a lot of New Englanders make it to that game so that there's a balance. Seattle will not have the 12th man in that game, even though they are geographically closer than we are. But the Patriots team travels pretty
really
well as Sandy Patriots.
I'm just joking with you, buddy.
That's okay. Hey, hey, by the way, the Patriots today were almost perfect in third downs and in fourth down or red zone. They were like 6 for 7 in the red zone. The only time they didn't score when they got in the red zone was that play I mentioned earlier. So when we're talking about how close to perfect they were today, that one definitely falls into that category.
They were pretty damn perfect. That is absolutely for sure. I talked about a bad pass by Tom Brady, that interception. Another bad pass by Tom Brady, probably the only other one I can think of all day, is the one that Edelman had to come back and catch on his back. He got a little more air underneath that ball, and maybe the wind caught it. That's a 6 for Edelman, but it does go for a touchdown.
I mean, they ended up scoring. It was, the pass definitely was short, but overall, again, in the pass to Gronk, I think he was just at that stage. Gronk hadn't caught a ball, and Gronk was a little frustrated. Brady tried to force it in. He was double covered. I mean, a perfect pass probably would have been a touchdown, but there were two of the Colts right there that both had a shot at the ball. So it wasn't that it was a terribly thrown ball. It was pure judgment to throw, bad butt judgment, to throw the ball and try and make that pass, force that ball in there. So, again, I don't necessarily think that was a poor pass as much as it was poor judgment on Brady's part.
Yeah, a little bit of a poor judgment there, but, what are you going to do? We have 2 weeks now to sit back and think about what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. It is surely to be diagnosed, examined, re-examined, beat into the ground until the game kicks off on Sunday, February 1st. This is going to be good. It never gets old playing in these championship games, Bob. And I can honestly say, as a Patriots fan for many, many years, I am so excited about this Super Bowl. And you said it earlier in the podcast. You're sick of the Belichick, you're sick of Spygate, all this other thing. The Patriots are hated. And I'm telling you right now, I want to give the big middle finger to the rest of the NFL, the rest of America, and just say this country was founded on patriotism, and the Patriots are the model Super Bowl, model champion, model team in the NFL still to this day. I saw earlier on Twitter, and it actually made me kind of laugh, and it was from a Miami Dolphins fan saying, "Will Brady already retire and just spend some time with his wife?" And someone else, another Dolphins fan, tweeted, "It doesn't matter. They went 11-5 with Matt Castle. They got to, you know, it's the blatant cheating." When they finally stopped that, and he mentioned the four offensive linemen. You know, every time the Patriots turn around and do something that's a little innovative, it's cheating. It just makes me laugh.
Well, and Harbaugh made much more of it than should have been made. And they didn't apologize. That's what pissed me off a little bit afterwards, when he knew he was wrong, yet never really acknowledged being wrong. At one point afterwards, he backed up and said, well, it wasn't illegal, but, and that but, you know, the officials should have let us know ahead of time. And the fact the Patriots are creative, and as much as we put down Josh McDaniels, when he is on his game, which he was today, and he was last week, that makes it, he is a good offensive. Our problem is he gets too cute, and I was afraid he was going to do that in this game. I was thinking they're going to, especially when they passed on first down, I think, first time they had the ball, and I'm thinking, oh, no, come on, this is the Colts, run against them, force them to play the run, then the play action will work. But he balanced it out and obviously ended up running it more than they passed it. So I give him credit again today. But the NFL as a whole, no other team has caught up with the Patriots. Let's face it. They are a dynasty in a free agent sport that is almost impossible to create a dynasty because you lose players. And Brady as a quarterback, you know, hopefully will be there for a few more years. I know Bobby made a comment earlier when I was looking at some of our notes that Brady has more playoff wins than 21 NFL franchises.
Unreal.
How's that for statistics?
Unbelievable. Just, we are a lucky fan base, and I saw it earlier this week on, I think it was ESPN Boston. They went back and they talked about Dick Raybine, the former Patriots quarterbacks coach who died at a very young age back in the 2001 training camp. He was the one that recommended that Belichick draft Tom Brady. And, of course, we all know about the Brady six, taking 199 off overall, six quarterbacks taken before him. I mean, the best two out of them were Chad Pennington and Mark Bulger. But Gino Carmazzi was taken before him, Spurgeon Wynn. We are extremely lucky as a fan base to have had this guy come and just be everything that he possibly is. And everything that he possibly is taking us to the sixth Super Bowl appearance in his career. And this is the first one since 2004 where he has a defense that can help him, where he has a defense that can step up if he's not having the greatest game known to man, that can step up and make a game-changing play. It'll be exciting moving forward. It's just going to be great. We have 2 weeks now, and we start right now preparing for the Seattle Seahawks. The CLNS radio team will start right up tomorrow talking about the Super Bowl. You can follow us, of course, online at www.clnsradio.com. Follow at CLNS Radio on Twitter. Of course, my podcast at Patriots Beat, at www.facebook.com/CLNSfans for those of you that do Facebook as well. But thank you for tuning in to the Patriots postgame show. Don't forget, the easiest way to listen to this show and all the other great podcasts that we have here on the CLNS Radio Network, a network of over 20 podcasts now, is by downloading the free mobile app for your iPhone or your Android device in the Google Play or iTunes Store. Or you can go to www.clnsradio.com/iOSfree or www.clnsradio.com/android. And these apps are, well, one second, Bob. These apps are, These apps are powered by Lynda.com. Lynda.com has an easy-to-navigate home on the web, or you can try out the amazing Lynda app with free membership from CLNS Radio. Do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for a free 10-day trial to Lynda.com by visiting Lynda.com/CLNS. Go ahead, Bob.
Sorry this happened to you. I thought you were through. I do want to give a quick shout-out before we wrap it up to my daughter, Dawn, who's listening up in Chapin, South Carolina, and five of my grandkids are probably asleep, but if not, they're listening with her. And I just saw on Facebook she posted that she was listening. So I do want to send a shout-out to her, and hopefully we walk around with another duck boat parade and celebrating in a 3 weeks or so, 2 weeks, and then usually it's about a week after the game before they have the parade. And we have another duck boat parade in Boston. Had a ton of them over the last 10 years, haven't we?
It has been amazing the amount of championships this team has won. Not this team, but this city has won going back to the turn of the century. It wasn't that long ago for New England fans, whether it's Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, or Red Sox, where we considered ourselves Loserville. Jerry Callahan of the formerly of the Boston Herald and of course one of the head hosts on the Dennis Callahan Show on WEEI out of Boston famously called us Loserville, and he was right. We weren't winning anything. And I can honestly say two of the biggest memories that I had was Ray Bourque raising his Stanley Cup, winning it with Colorado. That was just, you know, crazy that I was cheering on a guy who was no longer with our team winning a championship because the Bruins were an afterthought then. In fact, I was at a U2 concert at TD Garden that night, and Bono and all the other guys came out in Ray Bourque jerseys, and it was a surreal environment. And of course, I remember cheering for the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2001 to win the World Series against the Yankees, and they did it. And 4 short months later, we were raising our first Lombardi Trophy. We've raised 3 altogether. You know, 3 World Series championships. Who would have thought that? Celtics, Bruins, both winning championships. Celtics and Bruins both getting back to the championship game in their leagues, and of course, the Patriots now going on to their 6th Super Bowl appearance since 2001. Take care, folks.
A little Bruins, what you just mentioned. The last game Ray Bourque played as a Bruin was against the Flyers at TD Garden. And I was at that game in the electricity because everybody knew beforehand that was going to be his last game as a Bruin. And the electricity in the stadium every time he was on the ice was unbelievable.
Yep. Unbelievable what has happened and transpired here in Boston and in New England over the last 15 years. Everyone, just really look at it. Think about it. Think about what we've accomplished as a city. And get ready for Super Bowl 49. The New England Patriots are going back to Arizona. And this time, they finish!
Hey, have a great 2 weeks, everybody. Look for the Super Bowl.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.